Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And our text for this, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 17th chapter. And we will read the first 10 verses in that chapter. It's Luke 17, verses 1 through 10, where we read in the name of our Lord. Then said he unto the disciples, "It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day and 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." And the apostle said unto the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If he had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, Go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, we do thank you for this, your word. We thank you for this wonderful day in which we are partakers of your grace. And we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share the same. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. You hear me if you come here often. You hear me quote this very, very often. I quote it very often because it's one of my favorite parts of the scripture. It talks about very clearly the sense of what it means to be a Christian. And I hear people tell, they say this all the time, "Well, I don't know what God's will is for my life." And I kind of like it, and I like and sit there and I look at them and I figure, well, you know, you got 4 Gospels to read. Take your shot. It ain't too hard to figure out. And it's all summed up in this. It's a very, very, very simple reality. Jesus says very clearly, you forgive people. That's God's will for your life. You forgive people. In the same way you have been forgiven, you forgive. And you understand, going backwards from this text, and we've gone through the rest of this earlier part of Luke 16, and Jesus was confronted by the leadership, the religious leadership, and he knew that they loved money. He said they loved money above all things. And they really believed that money and having a lot of money was the blessing of God. You were really blessed if you were rich. And Jesus went on to tell the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, about understanding that really it was Lazarus who was rich and the rich man was not. Because riches are not in the sight of human beings. They're in the sight of God. And right after he finishes that is now when he says this. He turns to his disciples. And I want you to understand, I've told you this before, there are no breaks in the Gospels. There's no chapters and verses. We put all that stuff in there. You know, that came along much, much later when they were initially written. They're just written as whole writings. They don't have any breaks in them. And that's why he immediately turns to them and he turned to the disciples specifically. And he said, it's impossible that causes to sin don't arise. And that's what this term offense actually means. He says, it's impossible. That's going to happen. He says, this is a reality of your fallenness. He says, in the fallen state of the world, he says, it's impossible that these causes to sin, these sinful things are going to arise. He says, that's the way it is. He says, but there's great sorrow to the one through whom they come. And what he was referring to was this leadership, this religious leadership, who loved money above all things. And he says, you don't realize how dangerous, how precarious a position that this is, that they're in. He says, it would be better for them if a millstone that a mule can turn, is literally what this term is in Greek. He says, it would be better for them if a millstone that size were placed around their neck and they were ripped out into the sea, than to cause one of these little ones to sin, to take them down the wrong pathway. Now, you recognize the gravity of that statement and what he's really saying. Because it's exceedingly incumbent upon us as Christian people, as people who represent the Lord, that we bear that representation seriously. That our heart and our mind and our understanding is in the right place in dealing with God. And it's from this point that he turns and he says, attend to yourselves. He says, pay attention to yourselves. He says, you need to pay attention to yourselves. He says, if a fellow believer sins against you, he says, you tell them. He says, you tell them. He says, tell them quite directly. He says, and if they change your mind, because that's what the word repent actually means in Greek, means if they change their mind, they change their way of doing this, he says, you release them. He says, you release them from any obligation. And that's what the word forgiveness means. It means you release them from that. He says, and if they do that seven times a day, if seven times a day they do this, he says, and they come to you and say, I'm sorry, you know, I changed my mind. He says, you release them. No, he can't be serious. Didn't he ever read Dobson, for crying out loud? Didn't he ever read about tough love? Tough love is not Christian. Love is Christian. We forgive. We forgive. And we continually forgive. We always forgive. We forgive because we have been forgiven so much. We forgive because that's what our Lord says. You forgive. You forgive. Because every time you come to your God and you seek forgiveness, your God forgives you. He forgives you. He forgives you. And the disciples said right away, they understand right away. They said, there's no way we can do this. There is just no way we can do that. Not only is there no way we can do that, there's no way we're doing that. That can't be right. People are just going to treat you bad. They're going to get away with all this stuff. Can't do that. If you expect us to do that, you got to give us faith. You got to place in us faith. That's the Greek word that they use. They say, you got to place faith in us. And Jesus says to them this wonderful thing. It's a conditional in Greek. It's a contrary to fact conditional, as a matter of fact. It says, if you had faith the size of a dinky little mustard kernel, If you had faith that size, he says, you would certainly say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. He says very clearly, this isn't an issue of faith. This isn't a problem of faith. If you have faith in the dinkiest portion that you can think of, he says you have this immense power. He says this isn't a matter of faith. He says, now who of you who has a slave who's plowing or tending sheep, who comes in from the field, will say to him, straight off, come and repose to eat, lay down to eat, because that's the way they ate in the ancient world. They didn't sit up. Says, but instead, won't he say to him, prepare something for me for supper. Also, fasten up to wait on me until I eat and drink. So after these things, then you will eat and drink yourself. He doesn't have gratitude for the slave in that he did the things he was ordered, does he? King James uses this terminology, I trow not. I love that. I say that to my students on occasion too. You know, I trow not. It just simply means I think not. I don't think so. But it sounds really a lot heavier when you say I trow not. In this way also yourselves, whenever you've done all the things ordered you, say, slaves, useless we are. What we are obliged to do is all we've done. See, you understand in this world that the Lord warned us about ourselves. That as a matter of fact, if we weren't careful, after the fall, we would be continually deceived. And what he's talking about here is to understand the religious leadership of the day, that they were horribly deceived. They were horribly deceived. And they acted in this very, very poor way because they were deciding what it meant to be blessed by God. And they made the determination of who was blessed by God and who was not. And Jesus told them the parable of the rich man and Lazarus to understand, well, no, you don't really understand blessing. Only your Father understands blessing. And only he can determine what is truly blessed. And the blessing of God comes entirely by grace. It is not measured in the things of human beings. It is not measured in the way that we measure it. It comes to us entirely and solely by the goodness and grace of God. God is so good that God chooses to be gracious. God is so good that in the face of the sinfulness of the world, that anyone that will come to him, sinner though they be, he will receive them openly. And he will forgive. He forgives. And he sent his son into the world in order to ensure that, in order to make sure that we would understand how deeply God was committed to this. He sent his son to suffer and die on a Roman instrument of torture, to take away the sin of the world, and by the power of his blood, to release us. And that's what that word really means. In Greek, it means to release us, to release us, to release us of our obligation. That God would no longer hold us under that obligation, but now we would be free. We would be free of it by grace. And then he sent us out to do the same. He sent us into the world simply to do the same. And that's what we need to understand. You see, as you sit here today, you are free. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all iniquity, the scripture says. It doesn't say will, it says has. You're cleansed. You're washed. You're at peace with your God. Your God is at peace with you. He has restored you fully in his sight. You're a child of God. The scripture says you are blameless, blameless in his sight. You are so pure that you are washed. You're blameless in his sight. And you can stand out there and tell him, no, I'm a sinner. And God says, I'm the boss, not you. If I saved you, why can't you just be saved and shut up? Why do you keep trying to tell me how to be more religious? I don't need any more of that. Just be gracious. Be gracious. Just be gracious. You don't need more faith. You just need to do what I said. And you will find that your life is even all the more abundantly blessed. Because the grace of God cannot be exhausted. It's a grace that is greater than all of our sin. It's a grace that continues. It's a grace that is always there. It's a grace day in and day out, 7 times a day, a bazillion times a day, to use Looney Tunes phraseology. You can do it as often as you think. And what you will hear from God is you're forgiven. You are forgiven. I don't know your sin. I don't remember it anymore. And I tell you that all the time. I don't know how he does that. I don't know how God forgets anything. But he says, your sins and your iniquities I remember no more. This is all that we need in the church, honestly. We don't really need anything else. Our mission is to go into the world and to proclaim the message of salvation and to do it by grace. It's to do it with that sense of forgiveness. If you will come, if you will come, we will forgive. We forgive. We forgive. Your God forgives. And if you tell your God your struggles, he will hear you. He will hear you. And he will forgive. And he will forgive. And if you continue to struggle, he will hear you, and he will forgive. He will forgive. In all the days of your life, if you struggle, he will hear you, and he will forgive. And that's exactly where we need to be. We don't need more faith in this world. We need to simply do what he said. To do what he said. He adds his blessing to the message of forgiveness and grace. He adds his blessing. He blesses the heart of that person that we say, yeah, I can. What am I going to hold you obligated to, for crying out loud? I told you before, the best thing that ever happened to me is none of you knew me at all growing up. Tough oats. You can't get the goods on me, because most of the people that I grew up with, my parents and stuff, they're long gone. You can't even ask them. Scripture says very clearly, the one who is forgiven much, much is required. When we are forgiven much, when we are forgiven much, we understand the nature of that forgiveness. We grab hold of it in a death grip. We hold on to that promise with all that we've got. To understand and know very clearly, the blood of Jesus Christ avails for us And it speaks of this righteousness that is gifted us by grace. And it tells us, just do what I said. Everything is fine. Just do what I say. There's a lot of pain in this world. And there's a lot of suffering. A lot of people are hurt and they're wounded. And they honestly don't know where to go. And very often they lash out in their anger because they're trying to find something. Trying to find something they can hold on to. Because the hardest thing for them to ever understand is to realize that their Creator, their Lord, loves them so much that He is gracious and kind to them. That they have a place of refuge. And if they will come, that He will freely receive them. Will freely receive them. And He simply says to us, you go show them. You go tell them. You're my voice. You're my feet. You go tell them. You tell them. You welcome them. Because I love them. And I want you to love them too. They need you. They need to hear what you have to say. They need your gospel. And they need your blessing. And for Jesus' sake, I will give it to them. I will give it to them. See, today we celebrate the supper. This is like really a great day. It's like a bonus day. You know, you get up in the Copper Country in October and you look at a day like today and you're thinking, oh man, this is like bonus. You know, this is just a bonus. It's a bonus day. And you realize very clearly, no matter where you are, by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, you are received. It's a bonus day. It's a wonderful day. The Lord summons us today to the supper. And He simply says, you come. He says, you come. You come. I forgive you. I forgive you. You come. You come. You be strengthened. You be enabled. You be empowered. You recognize very clearly the body and blood of my Son is for you. It's a gift to you. And you understand that all of your departed, all of the ones who have gone from us, they're all on the other side of this altar. You know, they're all over there on the other side. They're all at the banquet. And we enter into the communion of the saints. We join understanding that we're not able to die. The grace of God enables us to such a degree that all that happens is our fleshly portion ceases to function. But we live. We're living. We're living. And we celebrate life. Every day, by grace, we celebrate life. We celebrate life. And we live in peace. A peace that passes all human understanding. Jesus says, you come. You come. You come. You freely receive. And you live in that grace. You walk in that grace. You do what you're going to do today in that grace. You go to sleep in that grace. You wake up tomorrow in that grace. He says you live in that grace. And my peace will fill your heart and your soul forever. And that's how good this is. That's simply how good this is. And how good God is. For Jesus' sake. Amen.